Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mint and Matara's summer special episode 18. Yippee! La 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 la. La 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 la. I'm Matara.
And I'm Mint.
Wow. Mint, you sound a little different today.
What do you mean, Matara? I always sound like this. I love you, Matara. You're my favorite co-host. I love you. I'm sorry that I am so stinky.
Oh. I think she's haunting me. Uh-oh. Mint, get out. I'm sorry. Yes. For anybody who is wondering, audio only listeners, you might be wondering what is going on. Mint's not here. It's just me. We're doing a solo pod. I'm doing a solo pod this week. She's doing a solo pod next week. Basically, we got a little bit of stuff happening with, she got stuck in LA for a little bit. I'm going to LA this week for a little bit. And we figured it might be fun to just kind of relieve, you know, the tension of having to meet up a few times a week. You know, it's such a chore to record a podcast with one of my closest friends and yap about everything forever. It's true. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit excited but intimidated by the prospect of having the whole solo podcast today and then the whole Patreon episode and all that stuff. But if there's anything I am good at is yapping about nothing for really, really long periods of time. So please sit back, relax, grab yourself a coffee, a tea, put on a video game, whatever it is that you do when you listen to this podcast, and enjoy. I have a few topics. Oh, also, I just woke up. So I might yawn here and there, okay? I just woke up. I have a nice coffee. I have a few topics I want to talk about. How are you, first of all? I hope you're having a good one, audio listeners and podcast watchers. Yes, I call you guys my watchers because you're watching. Hope you're having a good day. Hope your summer's going kind of good. I think by the time you get this episode, it's going to be, oh my God, it's going to be almost August. Where does the time go? Speaking of August, Mint and I will be appearing at Otakuthon. It is a convention in Montreal, which is a city in the Canadian East Coast. We will be doing meet and greets. We will be signing posters. We will be selling posters. And we're also going to be sponsoring a little thing that's happening there. But you'll get more details, I think, through Twitter. So if you are in the Canadian East Coast, please consider stopping by. We are very sorry for the East Coast viewers in other places. We have genuinely really tried hard. I know a lot of you have told us you'd love for us to go to an East Coast convention, but I hope you understand it's sometimes not up to us. If we want to do meet and greets at a convention or if we want to do panels and things like that. We also have a panel at the convention. Sorry, I forgot to mention. I just woke up. Sometimes we need to make sure that the convention has enough kind of resources for us. And there's a lot of conventions that were interested, but they just didn't have the resources. They didn't have enough. Some of them haven't even really worked with VTubers for long enough in order to kind of assure us that, you know, they're going to be taking care of us. But there have been a lot of conventions that said not yet, but eventually. So, hey, who knows? Maybe you'll see us as guests at these other conventions in the East Coast. I know we have a lot of fans in East Coast of North America. And I know, trust me, I know. And I know we also have a lot of fans in Europe and Asia. First question for all you listeners, where are you listening from? I would really, really love to go to a European con next year. I really tried to go to TwitchCon this year, but it was right around Anime Expo. So I couldn't really make that happen, unfortunately. But I would love a European con or a nice con somewhere in Asia. The only problem, I've talked about it a little bit on stream, is the flight time is insane. I think next year, Mint and I have talked about this, we might go to a few less conventions in person. I think going in person and meeting everybody in person has been amazing, and it's been a dream come true. And honestly, there's nothing that kind of replaces seeing people in the flesh. But, you know, we also got COVID from that. And I saw people got COVID at AX, and I saw people got COVID at MGSCon and all that stuff. And I saw people got not COVID, but they had another disease at TwitchCon EU, which apparently you get from eating poop. Anyway, y'all gross. I want to stay home. I think it's just also kind of hard, right, to travel and then also stream from there and then come back home and do your own streams. You know, if we're traveling and then we're working the con and then we're coming back, and it's like you kind of have to get back to everything because you just took time off of streaming. Versus, say, if I guest at a convention and I don't have to travel, it's a lot easier, right? So we'll see. I definitely want to go to a lot more conventions. I forgot the word for it. Not internationally. Online. Maybe I should have drank my coffee before I started recording. I definitely want to go to a lot more conventions online next year, and maybe a few less in person. If I go to conventions in person, I want to really treat it like time off. The way that, you know, you used to go to conventions when we're younger, or when I was younger. The way some of you are going to conventions now for fun, for pleasure, you know? It's how I want to do it. Pleasurefully. Mm-hmm. I think what I might do more of next year is, say I'm going to a small convention, maybe I'll bring like a little stack of signed posters and then just kind of sneak my way around the con. Because that's another thing. If people don't know I'm at the con and then they think they see me, what you think you saw, you didn't see. Ha ha ha. You don't know that it's really me. It might be someone else. It might be. You never know. Was I here? Was I never there? I guess we'll never know. Never, ever, ever. But yes, we are going to be at Otakuthon. We're going to have some signed. We're going to be selling some pre-signed prints. We're also going to be doing meet and greets and signing prints. And we're going to be doing a panel. And I'm excited. I'm excited because I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast yet, but my flesh woman, the woman whose body I live inside, she used to live in Montreal many, many, many years ago. And she used to go to that convention when she was younger. And it feels surreal to be guesting at a convention that you used to attend, right? It's kind of one of those, it's one of those moments, right? Where it's, I used to go here and I used to love meeting everybody and seeing everybody in cosplay. And this was the hometown convention. And now I'm guesting at what used to be my hometown convention. It's a surreal feeling. And I have to pinch myself, seriously. And I'm so happy with everything, you know, not to go into detail, but Otakuthon has been so sweet with us and so understanding. And we have so many little kooky, silly ideas that they're nice with. And I hope I see you all. I hope if you come to Otakuthon, I hope I get to see you. And if you don't, I completely understand. But if ever you want a trip to Canada, may I recommend Montreal and Otakuthon? It is quite the cool spot. I'm not going to lie. It is quite the spot. And I'm excited. I love having an excuse to go there all the time. I kind of get to revisit maybe places that I used to live or restaurants that I used to work in or even restaurants that I used to go to. And I'm going to drag Mint with me everywhere. Mm-hmm. I say this, but we actually won't have time. I think we have a meet and greet every single day, and then we're going to pre-sign posters. And then when we're not, we're shipping out the first 3 months of postcards. For anybody that doesn't know, we had shipped out the postcards previously. They had a big, big, big mark on them from the, I don't know, the stamping press, the printing press, something like that. And we are resending the first 3 months of postcards pretty much right after Otakuthon. So Mint is bringing like a whole suitcase full of postcards. My poor baby. My absolute angel. She is such a doll. I love you, Mint. It's been a little bit more challenging than I think either of us realized. And I was the one that really pushed for the postcards. I think in the future, I've already kind of learned how I would do things differently. I think in the future, we're also going to have somebody manage the Patreon and things like that. But hey, you live and you learn. And it really means a lot to me that you all have been so patient and so sweet with us. Anyway, I don't want to just talk about Otakuthon and Patreon and all that stuff today. I want to talk about video games. I know. We just had the Steam sale and I want to talk about video games. And I want to talk about collectibles too. Because I don't know if anybody here has seen the VTuber collectibles that Novel Horizons has been doing. My money. They just released a Juniper one. My little Hagrid bug girl. I like her so much. They just released a Juniper model and my money is down the drain. My money is down the drain. I'm every time. What do we do? How much budget should you allocate and should I allocate to VTuber merchandise? Does it go into the anime merchandise budget? Or the Gunpla budget? Where do you separate them? What if you're into Gundams and Warhammer and VTubers and anime? You should have a separate budget for all of them, no? Somebody who knows mathematics, can you please make this make sense? I don't understand my budgeting at all. I don't know how much money to save for all this stuff. I don't know. And Zen, Zentreya of Vishoujo has just released more plushies on YouTube's. And I just, where does this go in my budget? She's my wife. I have to buy my wife's products, right? I'd be a bad wife if I didn't. Make it make sense, everybody, is all I'm asking. I need y'all to explain to me your budgeting when it comes to this kind of stuff. Because luckily for Gundams, I have decided that I'm only getting the girly Gundams. Now, let me be clear. Every Gundam is a girly Gundam, if you believe. But I really mean like the Nobel Gundam, right? N-O-B-E-L-L, for anybody wondering. We're going to have a picture pop up. I have, where is she? Farcia. And the Hello Kitty Gundam. Ah! So luckily, that does limit my Gundam spending a little bit. For Warhammer, I told myself I'm not allowed to buy any new Warhammer anything until I paint my Tyranids. I bought a starter Tyranid set and I have not yet painted it. So until I paint my Tyranids. But Mint just released some merch. If we can show some of the Mint merch that she released. For anybody that doesn't know, she just had her anniversary. I gotta buy the Mint merch as well, right? Like I'd be crazy not to. Why wouldn't I? I love my sweet Mint. Why wouldn't I get her stuff? Anyway, my budget is in absolutely not doing okay. I need budgeting help. What percent of my budget do I put here? What percent of my budget should I use for this kind of stuff? You know, the hardest thing about doing a solo podcast, I have to tell you, is that when you're doing a double podcast, I feel like it's okay to take the time to think about what you want to say. But when I'm solo, every single moment that I pause to think, I'm like, wait, I have to say something. Because if I don't, it's just quiet. It's just me and my demons in my head and me. That's it. There's no one but me and my demons in my head and you and your demons in your head and you. Let's try it out. Okay, here. 3, 2, 1. Do you see what I mean? It's just the voices in our heads speaking to each other. It's just the voices in our heads speaking to each other. And I'm not... You know, it's, yeah. What I'm saying is, Mint, I miss you and I love you and I miss you and I love you. And, yeah, I definitely don't think I'm ready to do a podcast by myself. Oh my God. There's definitely something really, really funky about having your friend on the podcast with you. My loves, today I want to talk about something I never talk about. Ever. Video games. Yippee! I want to talk about video games. I want to talk about the nostalgia that I have for Ragnarok Online. I know I'm a different person now than 20 years ago. I know that gaming is different now than 20 years ago. But I need everybody to just kind of close your eyes, unless you're driving, and imagine this scene, all right? You come home. It's 6 p.m. It's winter out. There's nothing to do. You log in. You go to Prontera. All your friends are there sitting on the floor. Or you go to Aldebaran and everybody in your guild is sitting on the floor. You're hanging out. Your pal says, hey, what are you doing? You say, oh, I'm probably going to go hunting for Hydra cards or going to make my Thor bow, anything like that. And they say, I'll come with you. And then basically you and your friend just go and kill mobs together and hang out in TeamSpeak. And then somebody else logs in the guild and they go, what are you guys doing? And you say, I don't know. Oh, I'm training a sage in, oh, what were those little slimes named? Does anybody remember there was these like big earth sandworms, slimes, and you trained your mage with it. You basically just fireballed them and firewalled the big slimes. What was their name? Big Sand Slime Ragnarok. Ragnarok Online. What was the name? Maybe everybody can help me in the comments, but basically you just went there with like your low level mage. So either you were training a sage or a high wizard and you just, yeah. And then everybody would just come with you and hang out, or you just talk in you know, guild chat while you're doing stuff. Those are the good old days. I don't know if it's just what playing an MMO was like, or if that just like that era of gaming is gone to me forever because I am a different person now with responsibilities and a job. You know, I can't just kind of rot away the way that I used to. But I do sometimes wonder what would happen if I got addicted to an MMO again. I think Riot Games is doing an MMO. Has anybody heard any information about that? And how do you think it would be? Also, there is an MMO coming in, I think, August, called Ashes of Creation, which I'm seriously considering playing it. And like, please, in the comments here, I need everybody to convince me not to. I need everybody to tell me, Matara, do not play Ashes of Creation. We will lose you. I just wonder if basically what I'm missing in my life is that kind of MMO experience again. And I know people are telling me I could play Final Fantasy 14, but kind of like the idea of playing a new MMO, you know, you and everybody kind of starting off as noobs. Nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows where to go. What do y'all think? Are you playing any MMOs right now? I really do think it's a time issue. It's the same reason I don't really play any visual novel games anymore. I just simply don't have the time. I simply don't have the time to really play those kinds of games. So because of that, since I don't have the time, I you know, I kind of have to do things that I have time for. And I unfortunately have no time. But I am curious. I do think about, because I've tried logging into Ragnarok a few times and it's not the same anymore. I really feel like having the group and having a community was a big reason for why it was so fun and so enjoyable. And now I do have this big group in this community in stream, in the Discord, in the podcast, and in just online in general on Twitter. And I feel because of that, maybe I don't need what Ragnarok Online offers me anymore. But maybe I need what Ashes of Creations is offering, right? Let's not be hasty. Maybe I need what Ashes of Creation is offering, right? We still don't know what they're offering. Maybe I need that. Maybe I need that. Oh my God. I really need to finish my coffee. I'm like one quarter of my cup in, but it's too hot. I forgot to put ice in my coffee and now I'm getting sweaty. Summer. Darn you, summer. Where I can only go outside or exist in the morning and in the nighttime. During the day, forget it. I am sitting next to an AC. Even though I'm a cold-blooded bug, I'm sitting next to air conditioning. Impossible without it. Absolutely impossible. But yeah, I was also thinking about games like League of Legends, games like Overwatch, right? I'm sure you all heard there's a few games that maybe don't have such a big community anymore. I know some games like Rainbow Six Siege still have a community and people still play. I do always wonder about that of, are people just moving to play different games? I think also once you kind of age out of a demographic of a game, you might not see the game as much. For example, I remember watching people play Fortnite, and Fortnite has a ton of bots now that the game has implemented for you to play against. But at the same time, Fortnite also has so many concurrent players. So then why are you having bots play with you? I wonder. I really wonder. And I don't know if anybody remembers when Pal World was kind of everywhere and people were playing a lot of Pal World. And some people online were trying to start this whole thing of like, Pal World was a failure because look how little people are playing Pal World after 3 years, less than a year. And meanwhile, they still had more concurrent players than a lot of video games. I don't know why that's such a thing that people do online. It's kind of, you're not allowed to die. That's a big word. But you're not allowed to go and become less popular. It's like anytime you hit any kind of summit of popularity, you're always supposed to beat it, right? Pal World was one of the most anticipated games and it blew up. Everybody was playing it. And now you're supposed to what? Recreate it again? That's crazy. That's once in a lifetime shenanigans. It's like asking somebody, I don't know, it's like asking the person who made Stardew Valley to do Stardew Valley again and recreate the success again. Oh, you know what else I wonder about the nostalgia of gaming in your youth? Let's be honest. You also didn't have a lot of autonomy, right? Most likely, a lot of our fondest memories of gaming was when we had to go to bed at 8 p.m., we couldn't go outside. We didn't have spending money. We didn't have anything like that. So now, for example, you go to work and then maybe you want to grab dinner with a friend. Maybe you want to watch a good TV. You can actually pick what you can do. And gaming just kind of goes down the list, right? And even though you have friends also gaming, a lot of people who are going to be online all the time on video games will probably be quite youthful. And let's say you're 40, you know, you kind of don't want to hang out with a 13-year-old in your guild. They seem... Okay. for anybody here that's just kind of freshly 25, freshly 30, even those of you who are freshly, let's say 21, you can recognize young people on the internet, right? It's like the way they write, you just know the questions they ask, you just know. And you're like, uh-oh, oh buddy, oh boy. You just kind of know. And I'm asking you, if you watch streams or if you are in a guild or anything like that in a video game, you can kind of tell if somebody new joined and they're like, haha, I'm 11, by the way. You can tell. If you've been on the internet long enough, you can tell. You can tell, you can tell, you can tell. That's all I have to say. You can tell. I was also thinking about this the other day, nostalgia-wise. This is going to be a lot more relatable, I think, to people who are in France. Sorry, everyone else. But there used to be this website called... was it called Skyrock or Skyblog? Where, exactly as you think, it was a blog. And my flesh woman had a blog. And believe me when I tell you, I am trying to dig up anything I could about that blog. I am trying to find anything I can. I can't. God, do I have to explain blogging to the children? Basically, think of it like an online diary that everybody can see, where you would post a picture or many pictures and you would write. And my flesh woman just wrote about her friends. This is like an introvert's nightmare, where my flesh woman would like ask her friends to give her a picture, and then she would post their picture and she'd be like, oh my God, and this is my friend. That's actually how she kind of came out on the internet as a gamer. That this is okay. So back in the days, gaming was not very cool. And at one point, she posted a photo of another girl and she was like, oh my God, you and I, War of Imperium buddies, always, you know, what is it? Like PvE-ing together, ba 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 ba. It was so, listen, was it cool? Not. It was like, thanks for always using Pneuma on me when we're MVP-ing together. God. I wish I could find this. Once again, I remember Mint and I had an episode where we gave you advice about streaming and content creation. Please do not delete your old content. You can hide it. You can put it on a hard drive and encrypt it. Do not delete your old content. Please save it. One day you will... Legally speaking, I won't do this, but I could kill just to have a look at that blog again. I would cannibalize a husband, allegedly in Minecraft, just so I could look at that blog again. Just so I could see what kind of things my flesh woman was writing 25 years ago. I am so deeply, deeply curious. Because I think she started that blog in like 2002. 22 years ago. Anyway, so that was kind of how she came out as a gamer to a lot of kind of people on the internet. And not a lot of people on the internet. A lot of people in her life. And because she would just post a photo of somebody and be like, oh, this is my guildmate in this game. Ha ha. Which, by the way, we used to send strangers on the internet photos of ourselves. Now we just post those photos on the internet to Instagram to millions of strangers. You know what else was making me feel old the other day? Not being able to use social media while you're out. right? Not being able to get on your phone while you're out. For example, I had a BlackBerry. So even if you had like BlackBerry Messenger or anything, you could text a little bit with people. You could send them text messages. But usually people would get busy. You'd get busy. You'd be doing stuff. Not everybody had a phone. And texting was also, okay. The reason I'm thinking about this is because my flesh mother's husband, he still has that phone. And anytime he needs to write a text message, he asks me to do it. Where it's the type of phone where if you want to type Y-O-U, you have to like, let me take a look at the phone key. Okay, phone keyboard layout. No, phone layout pre-keyboard. I don't know what to call them. Okay, so if numpads on keyboards. Okay, so for example, if you want to type U, Y-O-U, right? You see the letter. The number 9 has W-X-Y-Z. So you would type the letter, the number 9 3 times to get to the Y. And then to get to the O, you have to type the 6 3 times in a row. And then to type the U, you'd have to type the 8 twice. You know what's crazy about that type of texting? It's like riding a bike. You never forget how to do this. And the reason I know is because I have been typing up text messages for my flesh mother's husband for the last month. You never lose the skill. You never, ever lose the skill. You know, the one thing I have not seen resurface, by the way, if anybody hasn't seen, the whole Y2K fashion is back in style. The children are watching Serial Experiments Lane, which is just crazy to me. There's like a lot of people that are in their early 20s that are watching anime that, you know, I watched 25 years ago, which is just, let's go. That's awesome. I'm glad we are having a similar experience, you and I. But you know, one thing I haven't noticed them do is pick up these types of phones again, huh? Where's your Nokia phone? Why aren't you playing Snake on it? Hmm? Where's your Nokia phone, buddy? Hmm? That's what I thought. Oh, you'll watch the anime from 25 years ago. What about using the technology from 25 years ago? That's one thing that I have not witnessed. Also, going to get ice for my coffee was the perfect solution. I am so proud of myself for having done that. Ah. Thank God I did that. Trying to think what other stuff I'm really nostalgic for. I'm nostalgic for not knowing what I'm doing all the time. When I was a much younger bug, I had no idea. Like, winter vacation was, I'm playing video games. Summer vacation, I'm playing video games. Maybe go into summer camp. I kind of miss that, but at the same time, I think it's one of those, I don't think it's a real thing. I think it's nostalgia speaking because I really, really like being in control of my life and my schedule. And sorry, I'm going to get a little raw here. I think one of the reasons I played so many video games was because I didn't really have control of my life. And, you know, playing video games gave me a little sense of my life, being able to build it, being able to like have my own space, my own home, my own room, things like that. And I don't know if I really want to go back to that. Because in order to go back to that, I'd have to have everything, right? I think this is why when we talk about nostalgia for games, even if everything is the same, even if World of Warcraft launches today, you won't feel the way you did playing it back then because you were also a different person going through different experiences. It's like music as well. How some people, I talk about Nine Inch Nails a lot, Trent Reznor, my Oshi, where, for example, for me, my favorite album is Pretty Hate Machine because I was always really into this group called Depeche Mode. And when I heard Pretty Hate Machine, it sounded like a grittier, grungier Depeche Mode. Which, if you listen to the Pretty Hate Machine album, I think that's kind of what it is it is known as, right? It is known as like a grittier, grungier. I remember when I was reading about the album, a lot of critics were saying that it's a cheap knockoff of Depeche Mode. No, no, no. Hey, critics can say whatever the hell they want, right? But for a lot of people that I speak to, their favorite album tends to be Fragile or With Teeth. And again, it just kind of depends when you listen to the album. It depends what it how it speaks to you. It depends where you were at the time. It's like that with everything, right? Where even if... No, I think that's not true. I think if I listened to Pretty Hate Machine today without having listened... we talked about this with Mint before, where... What if we hadn't got into anime when we did? I think if I got into anime today, I still would have gotten into anime because I have, I guess, a predisposition to like it. So I think if I re-listened to every single Nine Inch Nails studio album today with no prior knowledge of Nine Inch Nails, I think I would still probably prefer Pretty Hate Machine the most, because I already have a predisposition for that, like, grungier, whinier, grittier, you know? What do y'all think about that? Now I gotta think about it. God, I wish Mint was here to talk while I'm thinking. Listening to her cute little head yapping. Okay, so I think some nostalgia is you have to be kind of, you know, in order to recreate your first World of Warcraft / Ragnarok Online experience / whatever gaming experience you were having, everything needs to be the same. Kind of. But when it comes to other things like maybe music or anime or movies, maybe not? But then why is it so different for gaming than it is for movies and I wonder if it's because I'm using more of my senses to game. I'm seriously having a serious thought experiment here, okay? This is what happens when I'm talking to myself all the time. Okay, so I think because maybe when I'm listening to music, it's more passive. I'm only listening and taking it in. It's like having somebody else tell you a story, right? Or a movie is kind of the same thing, where there's a few more senses being utilized in the movie, but when it comes to the game, you're kind of the one in control. I think the reason as well for gaming is that gaming, in general, listening to an album is an hour, right? Unless it's like the Fragile album by Nine Inch Nails, which is like 26 songs on it. Wait, come on. Love that. Not complaining. Watching a movie, even a very long movie, is 2 hours. But playing a game could be the whole night, could be 8 hours. I think somewhere here, I was maybe cooking at the start. And then somewhere along the way of me cooking, I started burning the skillet. And then the fumes started going in my nose and I started, you know, losing my marbles a little bit, but I couldn't tell because I just kept cooking. And I am just here high off the fumes of my skillet and just losing it. I am losing myself. Huh. Think about it though, yourself as well. Do you feel similar when it comes to certain things in your life? I genuinely don't think certain gaming experience I could have again for the first time in the same way, but I think there's quite a few music albums that I could listen to again and feel very similarly about. Genuinely, I think I could feel very, very similarly about those albums because I already have a predisposition to like that kind of music. I'm thinking about, because I really like comedic movies, and a lot of those 2000s comedy movies, watching them today, they're fine, but they're very 2000s. But I don't actually know. I feel that way with music sometimes a little bit. We were talking about the Beatles on stream a few days ago, And, you know, the Beatles sounds like the 60s. The Beatles definitely sounds like the 60s. But sorry to go back to Nine Inch Nails again. But Nine Inch Nails, Pretty Hate Machine, even though it's an album from 1989, to me sounds like it could be made today. But most Beatles songs to me sounds like they're from the 60s. Ooh, let me take a look at other older bands that I listen to. I'm sorry for calling them older bands, but you know. Let me open up the Spotify. I'm looking. I mean, the White Stripes isn't old. The White Stripes is 2000. Sorry, I have a lot of Radiohead also. I mean, it's the same as Nine Inch Nails, right? Wonder what gives music that sound then? Is it just the style of singing? Because, for example, Yesterday by the Beatles sounds like a modern song, but 8 Days a Week doesn't. Why? I need to ask musicians this question. Sometimes it's also the way that they sing the song, too. I think you hear it especially in Frank Sinatra and things like that, where they sometimes will have not the transatlantic accent, but they'll kind of have that accent that they used before. The Cars. That's an older band. The Cars kind of sounds like 80s music, though. Right? It kind of does. I got to look into this more. Sorry, One of my biggest fears, and I joke about this all the time, is people realizing how not smart I really am. But I get a lot of these thoughts during the day. These shower thoughts that I say out loud because, you know, I'm a streamer and content creator. I think sometimes it's also the production quality, right? Because another band that I've talked about a lot about, Depeche Mode, if you listen to their older songs that aren't remastered, the quality is a little bit different, right? The quality that they had when the songs were on records and things like that. And that's why a lot of them, whenever they remake the music, they'll remaster it. And some remasters are really good, but other remasters, it's not quite the same. I think also it had to do with the way the recording was done at the time, the way the instruments were at the time, the way the technology was at the time. It's kind of different how all that stuff worked back then. Speaking of Depeche Mode, just in case anybody listening, all right. You know how everyone's always talking about emo music and like, oh, the Fall Out Boy and da-da-da-da-da. It's so emo. You want some real emo music? I genuinely get really shy talking about this album because, you know, it was a different time when this album came out. I think this album came out in 1990. So saying its name out loud, always I'm like, it's called Violator. I'm not kidding. It's the name of the album. Probably my favorite Depeche Mode album. Not my favorite Depeche Mode album. Has the most amount of songs that I independently like. So yes, it's probably my favorite Depeche Mode album. And it has my favorite song, Blue Dress. My favorite song, Blue Dress. I say that, but it's not true. I love so much Depeche Mode songs. Please listen to them. If you just want to feel like horny and sad. Horny and pensive. Sorry. Because I don't even think they're sad most of the time. They're melancholic. Another really good album from there, because again, the craziest thing about Depeche Mode is music still coming out. I think they went on tour not long ago. In the 2005 album called Playing the Angel, there's a song called A Pain That I'm Used To. Love it. There's a lot of really good songs on that album. And just in general, there's still Precious was a good one. Precious and Fragile Things. Oh my God, I'm looking at Spotify now. Even the 2009 album, In Chains, oh, The Truth, oh, they had, how is this band making so many good freaking songs? You know what else? How are they still so goddamn melancholic? How are they still so goddamn melancholic 30 years later? Is the real question, okay? I have this story about another band I really like called No Doubt. Again, the problem with some of these stories is they're kind of lore. So you don't know where the lore is fully real, and you don't know where the lore is, you know, a little bit embellished to maybe sell the album or sell the tour. And this is something that you kind of start thinking about as you get older, you develop critical thinking and you're like, wait a second, what is this? So if anybody does not know No Doubt, No Doubt was a band that Gwen Stefani was a part of. She was the front woman. And that's why if you ever wondered, oh, how did Gwen Stefani become famous? She was the front woman of No Doubt. I think Return of Saturn, I think it's the 95 or the 97 album. Let me double check. Sorry, I'm very bad. I don't know if anybody else has this. When I listen to albums, sometimes I don't know the name of songs because I just listen to the full album. Back in my day, children, it's Tragic Kingdom that I'm thinking about. Okay, Tragic Kingdom and Return of Saturn, the 2000 and the 1995 album. Ugh, amazing. I say this, but then Trapped in a Box is on the 1992 album. Anyway, the story I'm about to tell you. So there is this song called Don't Speak on the Tragic Kingdom album. All right. I'm sure you've heard it before. The lyrics are don't speak. Hold on. I don't want to sing it because I'm not warmed up, but it's don't speak. I know you and me, we used to be together every day, together always. I really feel that I'm losing my best friend. I can't believe this could be the end. Don't speak. I know just what you're saying. Please don't stop explaining. Don't tell me because it hurts. You know this song. So according to the lore of No Doubt, all right, Gwen Stefani was a pretty average songwriter. And she didn't really make really, really great songs. And she dated her bass guitarist, Tony Kanal. And while they were dating, whatever, 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 he then broke up with her. And she came home and allegedly banged out this banger of a song, right? And she made the song, et cetera, et cetera. And apparently after he broke up with her, something in her changed. Something in her kind of lit up a flame. And he then later in an interview stated that even though he broke her heart that night, she broke his heart every single night that she got on the stage to perform that song. Hey, hey, that's a really good PR story, right? Don't get me wrong. They did date, allegedly, right? And then she actually dated another, I think, person in listen, I don't blame her, right? You know how streamers always say they date other streamers? She's in a band with three guys, right? She invented shitting where you sleep, you know, shitting where you eat. She invented that. Sorry for my crass language, but Gwen Stefani was like, you know what I'm gonna do? And then they're on tour together. Potato, potato, tomato, avocado. You know, I'm not here to judge. But the biggest thing I've heard with a lot of musicians not being able to perform old songs is sometimes you write, you know, it's like imagine writing something when you're 20 and then at 45 having to sing about that. And sometimes you relive that same pain. Sometimes you relive the same pain. Sometimes it's the opposite. It kind of feels like, from what I've been hearing, it kind of feels like you're parading that pain that you don't feel anymore, right? Like you wrote this song about, I don't know, your ex who broke up with you. And now she's happily married and everyone's happy and everyone's doing their stuff. And you're like, yeah, this doesn't feel right. So God bless you, Depeche Mode, for still being, and I say this, okay, I mean this in the nicest way ever. I think my coffee hit, for being sad 30 years later. I love it. Thank you. Thank you for being melancholic as heck 30 years later so that I could still have nice, melancholic, gothy music, you know? God damn, I love this. But I also understand that not everybody can do that, right? And not everybody wants to also perform the same song that they did ages ago. You know, if you have one song that everybody really likes and you have to perform it every time, I wonder about that. Also, some singers don't like certain songs. Some bands don't like certain songs, right? But what if the song that you don't like, everybody loves, and then you have to sing it all the time? Oh, my brain is a pretty hate machine. Not me just stealing album names. Ooh, question. What do you think is one of the best album names of all time? Genuinely, just what do you think is such a phenomenal album name and why? What makes an album name good? Is it that it fits the theme, right? Because, for example, there's this Canadian band called Billy Talent, and their albums are named Billy Talent 1, Billy Talent 2, Billy Talent 3. Is that a great album name? No, but is it a bad album name? I don't want to say yes. You know? Is it a bad album name? What makes an album name good? Is it just that it's catchy? Is it kooky? Does it fit the theme? I'm trying to think. What are some Muse album names? Absolution, Black Holes and Revelations, In Utero, right? What makes an album name good? I wonder about that. Let me know your thoughts, feelings, prayers. All right, everybody. I am very curious about that. Let me take a look at the White Stripes album names real quick. Get Behind Me, Satan. Not bad. Elephant. You know. Take a look at the Black Keys. El Camino. Brothers. I'm definitely curious about your take on this. What y'all think makes a really good album name? Because Born to Die, Lana Del Rey, I mean, listen, y'all might disagree, but... what a time. This episode will be a little bit shorter. I think you probably are going to notice when you take a look at the timing. I'm sorry. I would make it much longer, but you know what? It's okay that we have a little shorter one. Today, I am leaving you early. I'm letting class out early because I want you to listen to some darn good music. I want you to do me a favor and listen to an album from front to back, from cover to cover, okay? When was the last time you put on an album and listen to it from start to finish? Do it. All right. Do it, baby. Patrons, thank you, patrons. Mint, you were wonderful. Thank you for being here with me, Mint. My Mint, my stinky girl. I miss her so much. I'm going to see her next week. I'm so excited. But yeah, Mint, my stinky GF, I miss you so much. I can't wait to see you at Otakuthon. I can't wait to see all of you at Otakuthon. Patrons, keep trying to find your name. We love you so very much. Please let me know what you all consider, number one, a really good album name. Number two, I guess albums that really stuck out to you. And also, what MMO are you playing, or if you're considering playing any MMO? Comment word today is gonna be, I want to make it album, but that feels a little easy. Let's do melancholic. Okay. I feel like melancholic is kind of a tricky one. And it could be melancholy, melancholic. How are y'all going to write that into the comments? How are y'all going to do that? Melancholic. Yeah. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye. Have a great summer. Maybe I'll see you at a Talk with Dawn. Bye-bye.